Pop of the Day to you around the world. It's Esther Davis. We are going to be joined by, of course, Mr. Doug Burton from the Washington, D.C. area, and we're going to be joined by Magnus Faith. So you want to stay tuned. You want to give us a call. You can join us Facebook Live, I'm told, and see if we can, we're hooking it up only for today. It should be a part of our regular programming going forward, so the recordings will stay up. And the most magnificent thing that we're going to share with you today is the fact that we are now the War Desk, WARDESK, the War Desk Show. And there are three of us that are talking about the War Desk, conflicts in Nigeria. So the real proper name would be War Desk, Nigeria. And we have an article in the Washington Times. Many, many, many thanks to Doug Burton. We have articles that are floating around now with the Texas Metro News. I just found out about that. So we are totally moving with War Desk Nigeria. Someone is joining me. Good morning, Esther Davis.
Good morning, Esther. This is Doug Burton.
Ah, there you are. I was just sharing with a global audience the fact that the article that you have written is in the Washington Times, and we were picked up by another Texas paper in the Plains area of Texas. I have not read it yet. I just got a message about it. And I'm looking for Magna Faith to also join us. And you will be in, tuned, and on the top of everything that's going on with War Desk Nigeria. How in the world are you?
We're loving life. It's a beautiful day here.
I love it when you say that. I love it when you say that.
Yeah. Well,
loving life.
Good day for us. Let me correct one thing. I didn't write the article. It's written by Dr. Matt Daniels, who is a friend of mine. He has a great book coming out from Simon & Schuster on June 15th, and it's called Liberty 2.0, the Advancing Universal Human Rights in the Digital Age. So,
well, I'm not even the host today, so I don't know why I say that. Thanks for correcting me. But officially, our threesome is rotating. Our audiences are going to love us because we can share the information with you from three different perspectives. So it is Doug Adair. It is Doug Burton's turn. We have another guest logging on. Good morning.
Good morning, Magna Faith.
Ah, it's Magna Faith. We're all here.
Good morning,
Doug Burton, it is your show.
Uncle Doug.
Well, thank you. Good. Welcome, Magna Faith. So we are together now, three musketeers in different parts of the universe, but it doesn't matter because in the digital age, we're one human family. All right? And we have a common mission to right all wrongs in the world and to create the world of beauty, peace, freedom, and justice for all. Am I right?
You're right.
I'm
right on target.
Okay, so we were just talking about today's Washington Times story, which I hope everyone can see. You can go to the Washington Times website and you can just Google Matt Daniels by Matt Daniels at WashingtonTimes.com, and it's in the opinion section. The title of this story is The Forgotten Toll of Victims victims of Terrorism in Nigeria. So in this article, I think we've all seen it, it tells about how in the digital age, people who use cell phones, computers, they use WhatsApp and Instagram, they are leveling the playing field for people on the wrong end of the human rights struggle, that is victims. And in this case, in Nigeria, it's Christians who are being persecuted by terrorists. Am I right?
Right. You're absolutely right.
Right.
So I'd like to begin with a short statement. What this article illustrates is an idea that's occurred to me several months ago, and that is that people who pray with strangers and people who are far away, they are doing something that is revolutionary, because prayer changes people. It changes people on both sides. It not only invokes the supernatural authority of God, but the miracle of prayer is it changes people because they learn things about themselves they didn't know. So what we're seeing illustrated in this story by opinion piece by Matt Daniels is an example of people in the United States praying with people in Nigeria, but also receiving real news, actionable news about terrorism that can be then be incorporated into news stories and in videos. And that's what Magna, you and I did just about 10 days ago when we did the video, which we're now offering under the title of War Desk Nigeria. So mm-hmm. That's what I wanted to say. It's an example of a concept that we're launching here with Blog Talk Radio, which we have introduced as Prayer News Network, praying with others, but also getting the news from the conflict zones of West Africa.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I have to say, and I'd like to ask Esther if you can tell us about our first outing together on April 13th, when I was not there, but you were in the office of the very respected Dr. Martin Hawkins.
Martin E. Hawkins, president of the Southern
Tell
Bible
us what you
Institute.
Did on April 13th.
I still am in awe that he would, one phone call, you mentioned earlier about prayer, people who pray. Things happen when people pray. And we had prayed about it. You and I had initially had the conversation. We prayed about this concept. And I made two phone calls, just two phone calls. Martin E. Hawkins was one of them. And he says, come right on over. Let's talk about this. So I go over on maybe the 10th or 11th, and voila, bravo. We are on, he loves the idea. Let's do what you want with my office kind of thing. And I call in a film crew. So we have been so blessed with this entire concept. We've been able to move with good friends. Everybody's cooperating, energized and interjecting and engaging. So we're on a real roll here, my friends.
And
but Martin
tell us
Hawkins,
about that. Yeah.
Let me tell you,
go
but
ahead.
I do. Let me share this with you. Martin Hawkins not only didn't let us take his office over that particular day, it was storming outside. The weather here was off and on. Great sunshiny days, great stormy days, and we continued to tape. We had telephone numbers. Some of them got through, some of them did not, but finally we had a strike, a lucky strike at that. And we were able to talk to a birdie. And we tried to get in touch with one of the fathers, the Catholic priest that you mentioned to us. We did have a mixed conversation with another Nigerian, which was Musa, Dr. Musa. So the whole thing went very, very well. Now, since then, Dr. Martin Hawkins has had me to talk to some of his instructors, several of the professors. These are well-connected people throughout West Texas and East Texas and all over the South. So we have been in connection with other newspapers, which one of them being the Texas Metro News. I'm familiar with it. I've not seen the article, but it's there. And now you have the Washington Times. Magna, what do you think about us?
I believe, first and foremost, I'm so excited to be on today. I always love an opportunity to share with great minds like, U.S., of course, Uncle Doug. And I just even wanted to touch what Doug had mentioned earlier about praying for, the terrorist victims in Nigeria, because that kind of struck a chord with me. How that, innocent lives are being massacred, are being killed, in Nigeria, And I remember also, just like you said, mentioned that you visited Hawkins, we had a wonderful prayer breakfast on the National Day of Prayer, where we had, prayed for, terrorists and others, so that they will stop, killing and attacking civilians, and other targets, especially in the northern Nigeria. You know, we've prayed earnestly for love and peace. Amongst people, in the society, not only in Nigeria but across the world, because love is the fundamental, basic, ingredient that we need to lead a peaceful and a stable life. We prayed for the military, the police, all of our hearts and all of the things that we are doing, this morning, yesterday, and the things that we're going to be doing in the future is get towards ensuring that, we as humans, we continue to lead and live a peaceful and stable life, a decent life, in the face of the earth. So first I want to thank you and Dog for, investing your time, resources, into, putting out information that will continue to move us as a people towards, finding peace, stability, in our society. And I just wanted to, to chip that in because, that has been heavy in my heart. And, once Dog opened up with prayers and stuff, I was so moved.
Well, prayer is definitely the key. I did talk to another pastor here who is resigning his post as pastor of the church is 140 years old. His name is Mr. Mayor, the Reverend Dr. Ronald Jones. He was mayor of Garland for 3 terms. And we haven't talked about a motto for WADS Nigeria, but he mentioned to me, because I'm finished interviewing him, he mentioned that when your faith is weak, it becomes a magnet. Took me a while for that to gel in my head because, magnets draw you closer to whatever, and they hang on to you. They
absolutely
don't go away. They just start. So maybe we can, if Doug will allow us to put a motto with our WADS Nigeria, and maybe we can just brainstorm for a minute, if it's okay with our host of the segment.
Hey, it's great with me. I think it's a great idea. I have a proposal for a motto that I'd like to run by you ladies.
Okay.
I'm open to change because I'm an editor and I spent a career, writing and correcting stories, and I found that a collective has helped me, thousands of times. So one possible slogan or motto I would use is prayer moves mountains. Publicity saves lives. Let me say that again. Prayer moves mountains.
Oh, that's very, very powerful.
But publicity saves lives. And ladies, the reason I say that is that I know from experience in my career, writing about people who were being persecuted by totalitarian governments or authoritarian regimes. Like, one lady I helped many years ago, about 12 years ago, Elizabeth Trinicheva in Kazakhstan, she was arrested and put in jail because she was teaching the beliefs of her church. And we helped publicize with press releases and stories to the Helsinki group and many other agencies her situation. And it helped her tremendously because she was treated much better and she got a court date and she got out of jail within a few months because there was world attention focused on her case. And I can give another example. Just recently, a few days ago, I was talking to a critic of the government in Nigeria, a wonderful young man named Stephen Kefas, who was arrested last week simply because he criticized the governor of the state of Kaduna. And he said, after I got arrested, there were many stories in Nigerian media, and it helped a lot. I was treated very well. I was not beaten up or abused by the Nigerian police, and he got a court date, and he got out of jail just a couple of days ago. So I believe that publicity can save lives because it brings the attention of other governments in the world to the crisis that's happening in Nigeria. So what do you think, ladies?
I agree. I agree totally because, you know, if it wasn't for publicity, we wouldn't have known that 2 million people, 2 million people, dog, 2 million people, Esther, 2 million people are displaced, you know, within Nigeria. And in you can imagine that within the space of like 10 years, within a period of 10 years, Boko Haram especially, I mean, let's just even talk about Boko Haram alone. Boko Haram has killed an estimated 20,000 people within 10 years. This has been ongoing, you know, the killings were not reported. Nobody was talking about it. Mm-hmm. You know, many of the 20,000 people who are, you know, allegedly killed, you know, their lives would have been, you know, preserved had it been publicized, you know, sooner, and people were talking about it. You know, people were angry and enraged by, you know, the killings, the atrocity, the massacre. We probably wouldn't have lost, you know, almost 20,000 people. You know, exactly. 2,000 people were killed in 2018 alone. You know, the kidnapping, the terrorist attack by Boko Haram. I mean, all of these issues have to be brought to light. Less human life will not be preserved. So I agree with you, Uncle Doug. Publicity saves lives.
Well, that's why we're so happy that we have media in our midst. And media will propel us to the goal that we want to set. I think the people run this world. And we have more power than the people that are in power. And that's a profound statement just by itself, because with people, we can curtail these killings. When you say that many millions of people have been killed and nothing has basically been done about it, so that means we really have a big goal to accomplish here.
Well, absolutely, Esther. That's you know, quite true. That's why we have great hopes that by raising awareness, more people will get involved and lives can be saved. And you know, while we're on this topic, I would love for Magna to tell us about the video we put out just about, I think, 9 or 10 days ago called War Desk Nigeria, which has been shared around quite a bit. It's a 20-minute video, but it includes within it a viral video from Nigeria itself made by terrorists.
It's an excellent piece, by the way.
Yeah, our listeners can find this video on Facebook if they go to a couple of places. They can go to my page, Douglas Burton, and I've posted it there. They can also go to the page of Virginia Women for Trump, and it's posted there and getting shared around. And I'm sure that Magna has posted it on her sites as well. I'm not sure exactly. But Magna, please tell us, what are the topics covered in this video called War Desk? And by the way, this video is going to be embedded in a story in that's upcoming in Kansas City at the Metro Voice News, because they've done an excellent job of reporting about the conflict in Nigeria. I have to give credit to my professional videographer friend and very magnificent host, Magna Faith, in creating this video. Magna, please tell us about what we talked about in that video.
Well, thank you very much, Uncle Doug, for the opportunity. You know, insecurity is everything that, you know, whatever we talked about from the beginning to the end all bothered around insecurity in Nigeria. You know, I like how that they started with saying that Nigerians on fire, you know, and it was a passionate conversation between you and I, and this is because, you know, everything that we have done in the past weeks still points to raising awareness, you know, as it pertains to the insecurity issues in Nigeria, especially Northern Nigeria. And so War Desk, especially in that episode, first and foremost, showcased the video, the clip that went viral, you know, of the people, bandits, so to say, allegedly, because we're not certain. You know, we were suggesting that, you know, they were bandits. Some people suggested that, you know, they were terrorists, they were Boko Haram recruits. I mean, they had all kinds of suggestions online, you know, as regards mm-hmm. to who the people in the clip were. But I personally suggested that they were bandits, you know, considering the kind of weaponry that they possessed and their disorganization. You know, it was evident that they were not as structured in their command. And so, yes, insecurity was what we focused on in that episode. And as we all know, insecurity in Nigeria is the thing, is the order of the day right now. People are living in fear, plain fear. You know, people are not safe in their immediate environment. People are targets. You know, people are being hurt. People are being harmed. And the country is upside down with regards to security because there's no control. You know, there's no there's no structured system, you know, put in place as regards to preserving people's lives, not just people's lives, but, you know, we're talking about mothers. We're talking about children. You know, we're talking about families, you know, being separated, you know. And it's just heartbreaking that, you know, the response or the reaction, to the, so to say, from the citizenry is disappointing. That, you know, people have become norm. People have become
complacent. Yeah, they're not excited about it. It is a normal event, series of events.
Exactly.
Driving across town.
Right. As a Nigerian yourself, you have insight because you grew up in the northeastern Nigeria where there's a lot of conflict. It's a rural, dangerous area. Tell us about the kinds of incidents that are happening across the northern sector of this very complex, very highly populated country in Africa, from the far west, western states bordering Niger and Chad, all the way over to the eastern states that are bordering with Cameroon. Tell us how are people being threatened? How are lives being lost?
I mean, with regard to lives being lost, now we understand that kidnapping is rampant. Kidnapping is, you know, the kidnapping issues are and stories right now is just skyrocketing. The numbers are up. But we also know that, you know, we have ritual killings, you know, in Nigeria. From data that I found from research that was done 2 weeks ago, they found out, you know, ritual killings were about 5% of the deaths in Nigeria. They had terrorism, 40% with regards to crimes and the life, direct relations with the lives that have been lost in Nigeria, 40%. And you have, of course, ethnic militias, which would be, you know, one tribe, you know, against the other. And they had, you know, tribal wars, religious bigotry, and they also had issues of politically motivated killing and more. But all of this, none of them came close to terrorism. Tribal was only 10%. Politically motivated killings were 10%. You know, issues that had to do with, like, drug trafficking and maybe corruption, 25%. Ritual killing is only 5%. This is a country that has, you know, a history of, you know, ritual killings and war. But that was only 5%. Terrorism was at 40%. The insecurity, genocide. I mean, and yet, that's not the focus of media in Nigeria. Media is not even paying attention to, you know, to topics that are related to insecurity and the genocide of especially Christians in the northern part of Nigeria. And if you look at the numbers, it was said that Kaduna has the highest number of, you know, kidnappings in Nigeria. Kaduna. You would think that, you know, media needs to focus on stories that, you know, have to do with kidnappings in Kaduna State. But no, nobody's talking about it. And that's why we are on here. You know, we're talking about this. We're raising awareness. We're not going to relent. We're not going to stop.
Yeah, I'd like to just jump in here and say that Mr. Stephen Kefas, who is a person who's in need of prayer, he's a Christian from Kaduna, but he lives on the western coast of Nigeria in Port Harcourt. And we need to pray for Stephen Kaduna because he is very likely, he's been a political prisoner, and he told me he was in jail for about 5 days, and 3 or 4 days of it, he was held in Kaduna in a prison with hardened criminals, which included kidnappers. He made friends with four of these people who were in jail for kidnapping, and he said they were all members of an ethnicity called Fulani. And I understand there's 38 million Fulani people spread out all over Africa, but several million are in Nigeria. And he said the kidnappers told him, yes, we kidnap many people. We kidnap them in hopes of getting a big ransom of about, sometimes if they're wealthy, a high official, we can get as much as 20 million Nigerian naira for them. I'm not sure how much that translates to in American dollars. Maybe you can tell us. And he said that what we're trying to do is get money so that we can buy more expensive weapons. They want to buy AK-47s. And then if they buy more expensive weapons, they can do bigger attacks. So here is Stephen Kefas in jail simply because he did a tweet that ruffled the feathers of the governor of Kaduna State. And he said the kidnappers told him many times, folks like us, we are held in jail for a certain period of time, and then we are simply released without any trial due to some kind of administrative procedure by the police or the army. So they're not his kidnapping friends. They're not even worried about staying in prison a long time. Here's Stephen Kaduna, who, like many members of his tribe in Kaduna, is in jail, hasn't been formally charged with anything. His court date is June 3rd. Then he goes back, and then we'll see how he's treated. So that's the situation. What the story I'm getting from Stephen and other critics of the regime, some in hiding, is that there's unequal application of the law in this emerging democracy. So I'll let you take it. Tell us what you know about it.
Oh, it's absolutely. Well, let me just chime in here for just one hot second, because you're listening to War Desk Nigeria, and we are the host and co-host on a weekly, bi-weekly basis. You want to look us up. We're all over social media at the moment. And Magna, if you would, answer the question, the final question, because this time just goes by too fast. It is now, we've got about 3 minutes, because we're on 30 minutes, and we want you to keep listening to us and join us and look us up on social media. So with that being said, I'm going to ask Magna to close us out in about 2.5 minutes, madame.
Right. Yeah, I'm going to, and thank you for the opportunity again, because I know we have very short time. I'm going to say something what I'm saying. I will speak from a holistic perspective now. We all know that, these issues are, on the line, and there's diverse different stories, from the story of Kifas to, Lash Aibo to many other stories, pastors, innocent citizens. At the end of the day, corruption and insecurity, should be the utmost concern of, everyone in our society. The concern of, humanitarian activists, the concern of, media, journalists, the concern of, armed forces, whether in Nigeria or, abroad, even here in the United States of America. Corruption and insecurity should be the concern of every one of us as it pertains to Nigeria. Because this particular topic, this particular significant issues have eaten deep into our democracy to the point that, it has affected not only our economic status, it has affected our social status, it has affected us, politically, even around the world. It has affected us in every way, in every form and shape. And at the end of the day, we need, we need people to become active, to become engaged, to become involved with raising awareness to tackle this issue, corruption and insecurity. Now, for the youth, I'm one person who believes that if there's anybody that will bring about change, that will bring about a revolution, it will be the youth, the leaders of tomorrow. They have to... we have to make a decision, a conscious decision, a deliberate decision to shun all manner of corruption, and to, practically, become very engaged and involved with changing the narrative, not tolerating corruption, which will ultimately debase our society, whether socially, economic, or politically. And one of my recommendations will be that, government also deliberately, ensures that our citizenry are not idle, you know, that, because of course an idle man is the devil's workshop. The jobs are made available to you know, to citizenry, so that they become engaged, you know, and then we continue to pray and hope that, you know, the killings, the massacre of innocent citizens in Nigeria will become a story of yesterday.
I can end this with something you just mentioned, Magna. Prayer without work is voided. So we have prayer and we have work.
Amen.
Amen. And on that note, I'll say goodbye to you, my friends. I'll see you on Tuesday, Blog Talk Radio. Last word, Mr. Doug Burton.
Thank you, Esther. Thank you, Magna.
Thank you.
Thank you so
much. Thank you, Doug. Thank you, Magna. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Now.
Bye-bye. Bye.